Dear brethren, this is my 16th sharing with you during this pandemic. Today I intend to continue sharing with you on the theme, Kingdom Building and Spiritual Warfare, the fourth message. The Lord willing, this will be my last sharing on this subject of kingdom building and spiritual warfare. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for helping each one of us to enter your kingdom. And we thank you that we have also been called to participate in the advancement of your kingdom. We know this takes place in the context of spiritual warfare. And we ask that you will help us to know how to be faithful, effective, and to learn how to fight the good fight of faith in our personal lives, and together in the expression of church life. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you have the freedom to speak to us and to renew our minds according to the truth revealed in the scriptures. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last message I considered with you, how we ought to respond and how we can fare well in our walk with the Lord and participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom in the context of spiritual warfare. The Lord Jesus teaching us to pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, is teaching us what we ought to concentrate upon, the deep longing of our hearts. The implication is a heart and a life devoted to God, God's glory, and the advancement of God's kingdom. And this will involve spiritual warfare. I highlighted and summarized some related points to bear in mind, and they overlap. We have covered 18 points in the last message. Today I want to carry on with the 19th point. It is feasible to regulate the intensity and degree of personal involvement in spiritual warfare, and important to do so, especially prayer of the offensive kind, praying for others to be delivered from the forces of darkness, participating in spiritual warfare in our prayer for others, and also in spiritual counseling, helping those under spiritual attack, especially those under severe spiritual attack, and helping them to be set free from spiritual bondage. Involvement in this way can involve intense spiritual warfare. And it is important for us to learn how to regulate the intensity and the degree of our personal involvement in such context. We need to be cautious and not overexert or enter into areas we are not ready for. The willingness of heart is there, but we need to be wise to understand what God desires of us. And if we go beyond what is suitable for us, what God desires for us at that point in time, at that stage of our development, then it's possible for our lives to be adversely affected spiritually, at times significantly adversely affected. At times it can even be crippling spiritually. My main intention in sharing with you on this subject of kingdom building and spiritual warfare is not aimed at drawing forth intense involvement in spiritual warfare immediately, but to understand the situation, the context we are in, and to learn to respond and live out our lives as God desires of us. This is the key issue, to live out our lives as God desires of us. This leads me to the next point. Point 20. the supreme need to grow strong in the Lord. This is what we need to concentrate on throughout our walk with the Lord from the time of conversion. This includes deepening our knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, our understanding, our knowledge of the truth God has revealed in the Scriptures, and the guidance and empowering of the Holy Spirit, learning to stand firm in the truth, and in the process of it all, increasingly involved in spiritual warfare, in our own lives, in ministry, and participation in the advancement of God's kingdom, as the Lord equips, enables, and leads us. As we continue to grow in the Lord, we will become more and more equipped. And as the Lord leads us, what He desires of us, we will be involved. And as we grow in the Lord, we will be led by the Lord to be increasingly involved in spiritual warfare, whether it be in our own lives, in the context of spiritual ministry, and as we participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. Point 21. We need to recognize that in the long run, to be effective in our service to God and participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes, it is important to be effective in spiritual warfare. We want to participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom, then we must learn to be equipped and to be effective in spiritual warfare. And we need to recognize and nurture spiritual strength and stamina. Recognize the importance of spiritual strength and stamina. And this takes place in the context of spiritual maturity and as we learn to lay a strong foundation in the Lord and the truth. As we learn from the Lord in daily life and even learning from the Lord in the context of spiritual warfare. Point 22. In spiritual battle, the quality of life and spiritual reality in our heart and our walk with God is more important than much external activities and spiritual and superficial excitement. Believers tend to be taken up with activities, and at times they can be rather excited in situations that may seem to be very rich in spiritual meaning and overcoming the forces of darkness. But we need to discern and learn the difference between effective service and just superficial excitement. And to understand that in spiritual battle, we want to be truly effective. We want to have a continuing positive spiritual impact in the spiritual realm. And this is what counts. Then it is important to realize that the quality of our lives and the spiritual reality in our hearts and the quality of our walk with God, this is of utmost importance. This enables us to have a continuing positive spiritual impact in the spiritual realm. This is also the way to effective and sustained contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. If we want to continually contribute effectively to the advancement of God's kingdom, which is possible, then we need to concentrate on the quality of our walk with God, the meaning in our hearts, the spiritual reality in our hearts, in our walk with God, the moral spiritual stature that we are attaining, and a lively walk with God. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. The Lord Jesus tells us, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." The Lord Jesus tells us it's important that we abide in him and he in us. And this is a dynamic issue. It must be a continuing reality. Learning to abide in Christ and He in us. And the Lord Jesus having the freedom to work in us and to work through us. When this is true, we will bear much fruit. The Lord Jesus tells us in verse 5, He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. This is true fruit, fruit that will endure through eternity. Not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit. There needs to be the continuing abiding in Christ and he in us. For apart from him, we can do nothing. We cannot contribute anything of value unless we abide in Christ. If we do not abide in Christ, we will be acting according to the flesh and even trying to serve God according to the flesh. And it's possible for believers to do that. So we must learn to abide in Christ and He in us in practical daily living. I've covered this in detail in other messages. When we abide in Christ and He in us, we will be able to be continually nourished spiritually. And we will also be able to nourish the quality of our spiritual life, our walk with God. And this is the way we can continually bear much fruit and overcome spiritual opposition along the way. This is the way we can continually have a positive spiritual impact in the spiritual realm, manifesting God's wisdom and God's glory and contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. And this is how God wants us to live out our lives on earth. Point number 23. The Apostle Paul assures us God always leads us in triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. This assurance we have from the Scriptures that God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Not just sometimes, always. But we need to pay attention, careful attention to the text. It is God leading us, so we must ensure it is God leading us. When it is God leading us and in Christ, then we will always triumph. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Whatever the situation, if it's a context that God wants us to go through, a situation, an issue that God wants us to go through, He's leading us, He's enabling us in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will be triumph. There will be positive testimony. There will be the manifestation of the life of Christ. And there will be the shedding forth of light and life, spiritual light and life. Yes, in all situations, it is feasible to experience triumph over the forces of darkness in Christ as God leads us. But though this is true, we also need to bear in mind that even when God is leading us in Christ, the path of victory can still be difficult. And at times, it can involve a prolonged spiritual struggle and a spiritual fight. And we need to persevere. Yes, there are some issues, there are some situations where the victory, the overcoming the spiritual opposition is immediate. But there are situations and issues where you'll be prolonged. The struggle, the fight is prolonged. And though we have this assurance that God always leads us in triumph in Christ, we must be very careful not to become presumptuous. Though the evil one and the forces of darkness have been defeated at the cross, they are still formidable foes. We must never become presumptuous. We must be careful to abide in Christ, guided, empowered by the Spirit. We must exercise care not to be deceived. We can be deceived. Many believers do, along the way, become deceived. the evil one can deceive us in many different ways, and this is one major way in which he attacks us and overcomes us. It's possible for us to succumb to the wiles and attacks of the forces of darkness. We need to be prayerful, to exercise care, to ensure that we are not deceived and we do not succumb to the wiles and attacks of the evil one. We must learn to continually abide in Christ and He in us. We must be prayerful, vigilant, and we must not go to any situation on our own and respond to situation and issues in the flesh. After having learned something from the Lord in spiritual warfare, if we are not careful, we can become presumptuous, or we can become careless, overconfident, and we fail to exercise care, to be prayerful, vigilant, and walk according to God's guidance and enabling. When we fail to be careful and prayerful, we become very vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. The next point, point 24, together we can be a powerful army for God. This is what God desires. Not only effective at a personal level, but God wants us to be effective together in expression of church life, body life, to be a powerful army for God. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 19. Paul wants each one of us, each believer, and together to put on the full armor of God. It is the body, church life in warfare, corporate warfare. In verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the forces of darkness. It is our struggle, corporate, together, not just individual. We are in a battle. Imagine trying to fight a battle alone. No, it requires an army to fight a battle and to win the warfare, to win the war. And in the army, the soldiers have different scope, different skills, different roles. They contribute, they participate in different ways. Then the army is strong and powerful when each one is properly equipped, able to fulfill their role well, effectively. Similarly, in the expression of church life, body life, how we become a powerful army for God. We need to learn to grow and serve the Lord with one heart under the headship of Christ. Each one of us learning and growing in moral and spiritual stature and learning to fulfill the part, the role that God desires of us in the body, in the expression of church life. And each one of us must learn to be faithful and fulfill our part well. Then we can be a powerful army for God, because God will have much freedom to manifest His power and His glory in such a context. Point 25. As we grow in spiritual stature and maturity, there can be increasing manifestation of the power and wisdom of God manifested through church life. This is what we must work towards and look forward to. Continuing growth in moral spiritual stature in each believer and the whole way we function in church life increasingly effective. And if this is so, there will be increasing manifestation of the power and wisdom of God manifested through church life. We can become increasingly effective, more and more manifesting the power, the glory, and the wisdom of God in the expression of church life. And in that context, we will be increasingly able to destroy the fortresses of the enemy. What Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the verse we've referred to in the earlier message. If we are able to function together effectively in the expression of church life and body life, increasingly we can destroy the fortresses of the enemy. And the fortress of the enemy includes in the lives of believers, it can include also various negative things that are taking place in society in the fallen world, which holds non-believers under bondage, which as we grow stronger and as we learn to pray and overcome the forces of darkness in spiritual warfare, the Lord may want us to participate. And through prayer and a positive spiritual witness and impact in the spiritual realm, more and more we can weaken the whole of the forces of darkness and the bondage of non-believers and prepare them in the direction of being set free and being ready to respond to the truth of the gospel and enter the kingdom of God. I do not intend to elaborate on this point here, but this is an important issue and area in spiritual warfare. I want to go on to the next point, 26. As we grow in spiritual stature and maturity, we are more equipped and ready to participate effectively in spiritual warfare. And as we do so, we continue to grow in spiritual stature and become even more effective in spiritual warfare and continue to grow. And this is how it should be. This is the way God desires it to be. That is, we must concentrate on growing in spiritual stature and maturity. And as we do that, we become more equipped, more ready to participate effectively in spiritual warfare. And as we are more ready to participate, we actually do participate and do so effectively. And in that context, we will continue to grow in spiritual stature, growing in our appreciation of how God works, the realities in the spiritual realm, how the forces of darkness operate and how to overcome them, and how to apply the spiritual truths and principles God has revealed in the scriptures, and how to fight the good fight of faith. And as we learn to do that, we will grow further in spiritual stature and become even more equipped to continue the fight. And so the continuing growth and continuing development in effectiveness in spiritual warfare, this will continue, and it ought to be this way. If we are living our lives, walking with God in the way He desires of us. The next point, point 27. A meaningful approach to spiritual warfare does not mean we seek out the forces of darkness in order to engage them in spiritual battles and try to overcome them. We want to be faithful to God. That does not mean that we try to seek out the forces of darkness so that we can engage them in spiritual battles and then overcome them. That is not the approach to adopt. The forces of darkness and the evil one have already been decisively defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, and they have no part in God's eternal kingdom. The evil one, the beast, and the false prophet, they will all end up in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 tells us the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. They will have no part in God's eternal kingdom. They have already been defeated and they will end up in the lake of fire. As we live for God on this earth, we should not become preoccupied with spiritual warfare. Yes, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, but we should not be preoccupied with spiritual warfare. If we are not careful, spiritual warfare can become a distraction. And it can also drain away our spiritual strength and energy if we engage in spiritual battles unnecessarily. We become preoccupied with the forces of darkness, entangled in spiritual warfare unnecessarily. It can sip away our spiritual strength and energy, and then we cannot concentrate properly in what God desires of us. Our approach during our time on earth is to concentrate on the Lord and on our walk with Him, and to grow well in the Lord, and then to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom as God leads us and enables us. And this is what we must learn, to discern, to understand how God is leading us and how He wants us to participate and know His enabling. And in the process, as we look to the Lord to enable us to fulfill our part in the fulfillment of God's purposes, we also look to Him to enable us to overcome all spiritual opposition along the way. Yes, as we seek to be faithful to the Lord and participate in the advancement of God's kingdom in the way God desires of us, there will be spiritual opposition. And we look to the Lord to enable us to overcome the spiritual opposition along the way. Yes, it is also true that at times, as we walk with the Lord in this way, as we serve the Lord in this way, it can involve significant spiritual battles. And the scriptures does highlight to us one very significant spiritual battle that believers will have a part in. Let us look at Revelation chapter 12. Verses 7 to 11. I'll quickly read through this passage and make some brief comments. I begin with verse 7, although my concentration will be on verse 11. But verse 7 gives us the context. Beginning with verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angel waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. From verse 7, it describes to us that this is a spiritual battle that involves Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and also the fallen angels. There was this very significant war, and the dragon was defeated. He was thrown down. The dragon, verse 9 tells us, is the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. The devil and the fallen angels, they were thrown down together with the evil one. That's what verse 9 tells us. And verse 11 indicates that believers will be involved in this battle. Because verse 11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. This words here indicates and applies to believers. They are not appropriate to apply these words to angels. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus died for men, for believers, or rather for men, and because we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, We enter the kingdom of God, and we also overcome the forces of darkness on the basis of what was accomplished by the death of Christ, the blood of the Lamb shed at the cross, and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Our commitment to God, our preparedness to lay down our lives in the path of faithfulness to God, and even in the context of spiritual warfare. I do not intend to elaborate on this issue at this point in time. I want to go on to the next point, point 28. We have no confidence in ourselves. Our confidence is in the Lord. Believers, important for us in our walk with the Lord, and especially in the context of spiritual warfare, not to be fearful and anxious. We must be confident in spiritual warfare. But it's important that confidence is in the Lord and God's provision and what He has revealed in the scriptures and what was accomplished at the cross. We must never be confident in ourselves, self-confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord and the power of the risen Christ, in Him who has decisively overcome the forces of darkness at the cross, in Christ who has declared, "I will build my church." So the Lord Jesus Himself says He will build His church. And the building of the church is kingdom building. And it would involve overcoming spiritual opposition and victory in spiritual warfare. So the Lord Jesus has declared, "I will build my church." So there will be kingdom building in the building of the church. And there will be overcoming spiritual opposition and victory in spiritual warfare. And as we function well in church life, we are engaged in spiritual battle with one heart under the headship of Christ. We can be confident. The Lord Jesus has assured us, "I will build my church." So kingdom building will proceed under the headship of Christ, and includes overcoming the spiritual opposition along the way. Victory in spiritual warfare. Some concluding remarks. We've been considering this subject in the context of the prayer pattern the Lord Jesus teaches us. "Our Father who is in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done." So true prayer, at the core center of true prayer, includes the prayer, "Your kingdom come." And we've seen your kingdom come at the heart of it has the implication of the deep longing in our hearts for the advancement of God's kingdom and our participation in the advancement of God's kingdom through prayer and also through every aspect of our lives. Our commitment to God and our devotion to God and the advancement of God's kingdom. And it would involve spiritual warfare, because kingdom building involves overcoming spiritual opposition and spiritual warfare. However, it is important for us to remember that apart from spiritual warfare, there are other important, meaningful aspects to healthy Christian living and in our participation in our working of God's purposes. So our minds should not just be preoccupied with spiritual warfare. For example, it's very important for us to concentrate on growing appreciation of God, who He is, our relationship with Him, and growing appreciation of what God has revealed in the scriptures. And we can continue to study and grow in our appreciation of God and the revelation of the scriptures throughout our time on earth. There's infinite wealth of knowledge, content, that are helpful for us in the scriptures. Likewise, the being of God is infinite, and the kind and depth of relationship we can have with God, there can be continuing growth and appreciation of God, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Likewise, it's important for us to concentrate on learning how to worship God and our fellowship with God, walking with God, rejoicing in Him every day, and learning to deepen all these aspects: worship, fellowship with God, rejoicing in Him, walking with Him. And the very important related area of prayer. Prayer includes worship. Prayer includes the deepening of our fellowship with God and learning to pray over all the various issues of life, and including spiritual warfare. And not just personal prayer, but also corporate prayer, learning to pray together with the brethren. Remember, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven." Our Father who is in heaven. Not just our personal prayer, but together, uniting our hearts with the brethren. Even when we are not physically together with them, we recognize in the spiritual realm, we are joining our hearts with all those who love the Lord in prayer to our Father who is in heaven. And also, as we gather together physically, uniting our hearts to pray together, and there's tremendous potential for the release of God's power in united prayer of those who love the Lord and are committed to Him and are growing well with Him, growing well in the Lord. Then there's the important area of nurturing fellowship amongst the brethren and learning how to work out together in church life according to what God has revealed in the scriptures, how church life ought to function, and how we ought to learn and grow together with the brethren, and how to serve the Lord together with the brethren. The Apostle Paul also tells us, the kingdom of God is characterized by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And in our prayer, the longing of our hearts, "Your kingdom come," will include our learning to appreciate and experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in increasing meaning and quality. A major area, goal that God desires us to concentrate upon is learning and growing in moral and spiritual stature. So that more and more we may conform to the character of God. More and more we may conform to the image of Christ. And that is vital. The basis for deep fellowship with God, deep fellowship amongst the brethren, effective contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom, and effectiveness in spiritual warfare and overcoming spiritual opposition. How do we equip ourselves to walk in the way of victory in Christ, since this is important? From all that we've considered, I want to summarize it in this way, so it's easy for us to remember. We want to equip ourselves to walk in the way of victory in Christ, then it is vital we concentrate on consecration and deepening consecration of our life to God and God's call. In the context, wholesome development of every aspect of our being and growing knowledge of God, growing knowledge of the truth God has revealed in the scriptures, and learning to be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. These are the key issues we must concentrate upon. And this would include learning and growing well together with brethren in their working of church life, according to how God desires of us, according to what He has revealed in the Scriptures, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4. So I just want to end on a positive note, not only on what we ought to concentrate upon, but to remember it is always feasible to live an overcoming life in Christ, at a personal level and together in expression of church life, whatever the Lord may see fit for us to go through. I mentioned it is feasible, but it does not mean we will live an overcoming life. We need to concentrate on learning how to live an overcoming life, then to know that it is feasible to live this overcoming life in Christ. Whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, including during this pandemic, and also whatever we may have to go through in the future. What the Lord desires us to go through, He always can lead us in Christ and lead us in triumph in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you help each one of us to grow strong in the Lord. Each one of us at a personal level, and also help us to grow strong together in church life, in the expression of body life. That you teach us how to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom in the way you desire of us. That we may be sensitive to your leading, your guidance, and to learn to walk according to the guidance and empowering of the Holy Spirit, to learn how to abide in Christ and He in us, learning to bear good fruit in every good work, and learning to overcome spiritual opposition along the way. We pray that you will continue to give us freedom to speak to us, to guide us, to help us to live out our lives in the way you desire of us. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.